Father, we thank you for so faithfully meeting with us here again tonight. Lord, we call you answer. We invite you come. We believe you move. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your presence here with us tonight. I pray, Father, that you would bless this word, that you would break it open, Lord God, that it would nourish us, yes, that it would encourage us, that it would make us more like you. And Father, I pray that as we've been in your presence tonight through worship in the word, that we would leave differently than we came. Lord, that we would be freer, that we would be more whole, that we would be empowered, Lord, to be who it is you've called us to be tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We are most fortunate. We are most fortunate. Because of those things I prayed, we come. He comes too. We invite him, and every single time he comes and he moves among us and he reveals his heart to us and he speaks to us. He's a God who speaks to us. You know, we hear that all the time, and so perhaps we get a little cavalier about it, but God speaks to us. I remember the first time my husband, he had been saved. Well, he wasn't even yet saved. He was not saved. And we went to a church service, and it was in February, actually, so it's like about 50 years ago now. And some of you know Diane Bedoin, and the particular night that we were there, she was going to sing a special. And she was talking about how she had asked God what to sing that night and what song, and how God had spoken to her and revealed to her the song to bring. And in my husband's testimony later on, he's like, these people are nuts. He's like, they talk to God and they think he answers. But that night, after several things like that happening, he went home and laid on his bed and he said, God, if you exist, I'm pretty sure you don't, but if you do, and you want me to be like those people, then change me. And he did. And within less than a month, not only was he saved, he was completely set free from alcohol. He was restored to everything that the enemy had stolen from him. So God speaks to us. We are now those people. A few weeks ago, I was scheduled to preach and I didn't make it, and Al stood in for me. And the reason I didn't make it is a long story that I'm not going to tell you right now. And I thought that I would be preaching that sermon. I was very excited about it. I had it all ready to go. But no, that's not happening tonight. So we're doing something different because God speaks to us, right? God speaks to us. If you would, open your Bibles, please, to John 10:10. This is a familiar scripture. John 10:10. And Jesus is speaking, and he says this: the thief comes only in order to steal, to kill, to destroy. I have come that they, that means you and me, may have and enjoy life to the full or abundance until it overflows. Life until it overflows. In John 14, 16, Jesus again said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. So in John 10, 10, he's saying, I want you to have life to the full, life in abundance, until it overflows, and I am the life. I am that life. So what he's saying is, there is a way for you to have so much of me that it will overflow out of your life. Can you imagine? Have you ever been in the company of someone that has so much Jesus that just being near them, it spills out all over you? I want to be the person. I want to be the person that has so much of Jesus that it just bubbles up and spills all over you anytime you come near me. But he preceded that statement with one about the enemy. And he said, here's what I want for you. This is who I am, and this is what I want for you. But there's an enemy. And here's what he does. His MO, his modus operandi, is he's going to steal, he's going to kill, and he's going to destroy. And the Lord began to speak to me about five R words that in this season will begin to bring us to a place of abundant life, that life that will overflow and spill out into the world that so desperately, desperately needs Jesus. They need us to spill out over them. The world is desperate because, you know what? The enemy's been robbing them. The enemy's been killing them. The enemy's been destroying them. But guess what? Sometimes he does the same to us. And sometimes he's done the same to the church. And you know, what's the buzzword we've all heard recently about what God is doing? Something new. Right? There's something new happening. And it's true, and we've seen it, and we've felt it, and we've experienced it. There's something new in the church. But in order for the church, us as individuals, first of all, but then for the church to enter into this place where Jesus just spills out over everything, we got to deal with the thing that has stolen from us, the thing that has brought death to us, and the thing that has destroyed us. So the first two R words go together. The first two words are repentance and revival. There's going to be a lot of definitions tonight. Yes. My favorite thing. To revive means to return to life, to recover life, to be reanimated after depression, to recover from a state of neglect, oblivion, obscurity, or depression, to recover a natural state, to raise from depression or discouragement. Something that needs to be revived means the life has gone out of it. It's dead. I keep going back for many years. I keep returning to a certain scripture. One of my favorites about life. It's in Ezekiel 16. And it starts out in the beginning of Ezekiel 16 in verse 2, which talks about the state of Israel at the time and how they came to realize something. And I'm not going to read it all to you, but they came to realize that they were disgusting, detestable, and shamefully vile. At some point in time, all of us have got to come to that point. To realize that we are disgusting, detestable, and shamefully vile, no matter how good a person we are. And all of us, if you are in this room and you call yourself a Christian, hopefully you've come to that place and you have repented. You've said, Lord, this is my condition. I am so sorry. Because repentance means to feel pain, sorrow, or regret for something you've done or you've spoken. And let me tell you this. The enemy is trying right now to kill repentance. There's some philosophies out there that say if you repent once, you're done. You never have to repent again. There's just grace that's covering everything. I heard Andrew Eastman once address this. Let me just ask you, married couples. Let me ask the wives. If when you first got married, your husband said, I'm really sorry for anything you might ever do wrong. And then time goes on, and something happens. Is she going to be okay with you not saying sorry? Nope. Nope. Because what happens when we do those things, if we think about human relationships, when we do those things, it breaks relationship. God does not want us to go around being condemned. But he wants us to be convictable so that when we sin, we will repent and restore relationship. Because whether we sin against each other or we sin against him, our relationship is broken or at least damaged and weakened. We need to live lives of repentance. Every night before I go to bed, I'm like, Lord, examine my heart. Is there any way? Is there anything that I have done? And I repent. Oh, man. I said to my husband one time, oh, man, I wish there was one day that I could go by without having to say, sorry, Lord, I'm really just sorry about that. Will you forgive me? Here's the good news. We say we're sorry, he forgives us. He doesn't amass our sins. He doesn't say, oh, here they are again. No, it's gone. Why wouldn't we want to do that? And so the first thing that happened was they realized that they were in a bad way here, disgusting and detestable, and repented. And it needs to be a way of life for us. But then it goes on to talk about that one who was born but cast to the wayside in Ezekiel 16. And it says that they were left in their blood, unwanted, and dumped in a field and left to die. I don't know about you, but I've felt that way sometimes. Have you ever felt cast aside on the wayside, left in your blood, left to die? Has that happened in the church, do you think? But Jesus comes by and says one word. Live. And he has said that to every single one of you in this room that calls yourself a Christian. He has come by you at some point, laying next near death in your blood and said, live. And you have lived. And he is speaking that same word to the church today, I believe. He's coming by us again and he's seen our condition. And he's saying to us, live, live, live. I'm the life. I'm calling you to live. I'm calling each of you to live. And then it goes on to say in verse 8, when the time came, Jesus came by again. God came by and he spread his robe over you. And he covered your nakedness. And he said, yes, I am plighting my troth to you. Those are marriage vows. I've called you back to life. And I'm calling you into covenant. I'm asking you to marry me. And I think he's doing that very same thing to the church today. I've called you back to life, and I've come by you, and I've covered you, and I'm saying, I want you to marry me. I want you to enter into that relationship with me again, into covenant. Do you know why? Because you're mine. You belong to me. He wants to revive us and bring us back to life. What's dead in your life right now? Anything? Do you have any dreams or hopes or visions that have died? Do you have any relationships that have died? Any ministries? God is speaking revival to us. Come back to life. I love the scripture in Isaiah 38 that says, he loved back my life from the pit of corruption. He is these days loving us back to life. Every time we meet with him, he's lavishing his love on us. He's loving us back to life as individuals and as the church. And let me tell you what I think has happened. A spirit of religion has choked the life out of the church. And the Lord is saying to us, you need to repent of that. You need to get rid of that. You need to turn away from that. You need to fall out of agreement with that, because I do want to do something new and I do want to bring you back to life, and it's not going to look the same. Spirit of religion has to go, because it brings death, and we want that life that God has promised us, that he's given us. Do you know that only God can bring something back to life? Our part is the repentance. God's part is revival. Even Jesus was brought back to life by the Spirit of God. Right? And that same Spirit now lives in us. And so he's given us also the authority to speak life to others, to use that authority and that spirit he's given us, to walk by somebody on the roadside in their blood and to walk by them and to say, live. I'm calling you back to life, because life is overflowing in me. It's bubbling out and it's going to land on you. And I have the authority to speak life into you, and so do you. Have that very same authority. We need to repent And we need revival. It says that without vision, people perish. God wants to give us vision. He wants to begin to show us things that we've never seen before. At the beginning of every year, the Lord gives me a word for the year. And this year, he gave me the word discovery. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. Because I want to see things that I've never seen before. I want to experience things that I've never experienced before. Any of you ever have hope deferred? The enemy loves that one. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire is fulfilled, it's a tree of life. He wants you to constantly be disappointed. Because when you're constantly disappointed, you will die. Hope deferred will make your heart sick. If you believe that those things he's spoken to you will be fulfilled, it will be a tree of life to you. Yes. Revival will happen. What has God spoken to and promised you is a person? I can't answer that, only you can. What has he spoken and promised Shepherd's Heart? What has he spoken and promised the church? Hope deferred has to go. The tree of life will spring up within us. Revival is coming. A few years ago, the Lord told me to not only do whatever I do here, but to start a ministry of my own. And I'm like, what? You want me to do what? And he said, yeah, and here's the name of it. Scent of Water. And that comes from a scripture in Job 14:9 that says, even a tree, when it's cut down and not sprouting and dead, yet at the scent and the breathing of water, it will bloom again. I don't care how far gone something is. At the scent and the breathing of water. Do you ever smell the rain? Water has a scent. But what about the breathing of water? At the scent and the breathing of water, things that look dead are going to come back to life. It's the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit pours out like water upon us and breathes upon us, and we're beginning to see that happen week after week after week when we gather, the Holy Spirit is breathing out upon us. For what reason? To bring us back to life. And it doesn't matter how far gone you think you are, or how far gone you think this government is, or how far gone you think the church is, the wind and water of the Spirit is blowing, and we are going to see dead things come back to life. Praise God. Repentance and revival will lead to abundant living. There's two of the five. The next one is renewal. Only God can bring something back to life. But renewal is an intentional act. Renewal means to rebuild, to repair, to make again, to repeat, to make fresh, to transform, to change from natural enmity to the love of God. To be revived is the impartation of another. Renewal is a deliberate decision when you renew your vows, when you renew your driver's license, when you renew a magazine subscription. Renewal is saying to something, yes, I want to do that again. Yes, I'm going to sign up for that again. Yes, Lord, I'm going to believe you again today. Yes, I'm going to renew my faith, my desires, my beliefs. I'm going to renew those things. Do it again, or continue to do it. Many things can be renewed, but I want to talk specifically, just briefly, about our minds. Our biggest battles begin in our minds, right? In Romans 12, 2, it says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and changed by the entire renewal of your mind." It's a decision that you make, and it's an ongoing process. By the ongoing renewal of your mind. Conformed means to be pressed into a mold. Do not be pressed into the mold of this world. Do not be pressed into the mold of religion either. Do not be pressed into any kind of a mold that doesn't have the stamp of Christ on it. The mold that we're being pressed into is Christ, because that's what we want to look like, right? That's what we want to come out like, is Jesus Christ. Don't be conformed or pressed into the mold, but be transformed, metamorphosis. Be changed from one thing to another. We start out being changed from not believing to being a believer. But every day he wants to renew our minds. I was reared in a certain religious tradition, and I'm telling you that even after I got saved, there took some undoing that had to happen. I had been taught and trained for many years in a certain tradition, and it took some renewing of my mind to undo that, to say, I don't think that's true anymore, and to renew my mind. You know, the Lord had given me a promise quite a few years ago, about being healed. And I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. And then I found out there was some things wrong with me. And on the way, I was being sent to a specialist, and this is now 24 years ago. And on the way to the specialist, the Lord said to me, only twice have I ever heard the audible voice of God. This was the second time, and he said, whose report will you believe? Before I went to the doctors, whose report will you believe? Well, some of you have been in my upstairs bathroom. On the mirror of the bathroom, on an index card that is now 24 years old, are the words, whose report will you believe? It's yellowed and tattered, and it looks like it's 24 years old. And every single morning, I choose not to believe the report of my body. I chose that day not to believe the report of the doctor. You can just kind of walk away from that and say, oh, I can believe that. Sometimes your body gives a different report. So every single morning, I renew my thinking by saying, God, I don't care how I'm feeling, I am believing your report, and your report is that I'm healed. I do it every single day to the renewing of my mind. Our thoughts are different than his thoughts. Our ways are different than his ways. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I want the thoughts of my heart to be renewed, because sometimes I don't want to be like the thoughts of my heart. If we are like the thoughts of my heart, I'm like, oh, I don't want to be like that. And then it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so then we speak it and we agree with it, that thing that we shouldn't even be thinking. And this is the year of the voice. And so we need to start speaking things from a renewed mind. There are some mornings when I look at that little index card and say, God, I'm believing your report that I am healed. My body does not feel healed. I don't care what our feelings are telling us. I want my mind to be renewed to believe and confess the word of God. We need to be renewed. Do you know there's science about that now that says what comes out of our mouth can actually change the pathways of our brain? Undoing that can renew the pathways of our brain to truth. What needs to be renewed? Our thoughts about God, our thoughts about ourselves, and our thoughts about others in a nutshell. Right? God, who are you? Who does the enemy tell you he is? Who am I? Who does the enemy tell you you are? Who's Tina? What does the enemy want to tell us about each other? Our minds need to be renewed so that every thought we think is the thought of God. And then that's what comes out of our mouth, because renewal will lead us to abundant living. When we start thinking and acting, I love the story of the demoniac. He had been perceived a certain way, hadn't he? Like, this guy's nuts. Nobody knew what to do with him. He was in a cave. He was naked. He was chained. He used to cut himself. He used to cry out. That's what he was known for. Jesus came by and saw an evangelist clothed and in his right mind, because his mind was renewed. That's what I want to do. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it's been labeled. I want to see. I want to think the thoughts about God and about myself. I don't care what label anybody's put on you. And I want to see each of you the way Jesus Christ sees you. Healed, in your right mind clothed, please. And this guy said, Jesus, can I go with you? And he's like, no, go back and evangelize your town. And when the next time Jesus came around, they kicked him out this time. The next time he came back around, they were waiting for him, because that guy went back and evangelized. His mind became renewed. He believed something about himself that he hadn't before. Have you ever been in the place where you've thought, what is wrong with me? Or what is wrong with them? Or God, what is wrong with you? Renewal will change that. And we need to make a choice every day. This is an intentional choice. I am going to do this every day. He wants to teach us how to wait on things, because that will renew us. I want to read Isaiah 40, 31 to you. It says, but those who wait for the Lord, who expect and look for and hope in him, shall change and renew their strength and their power. They shall lift up their wings and mount up close to God as eagles mount up to the sun. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Lord, teach us to wait because we need renewal. Help us to not get nervous when we see things taking too long and then try and fix it ourselves. That has happened in the church too. Oh, we better do something. We better have a program. We better decide that we can fix this somehow by doing something. When what we need to do is continue to be renewed in our strength and our power so that when God says the waiting is over, we're going to be flying as high as an eagle to the sun, walking and running without getting tired. Because he's renewed us. I've spoken this before. Do not let God's not yet become a hiding place for unbelief. There's a time for everything. Two more R's. Restoration and replevin. Replevin. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. Restoration means the act of replacing in a former state or recovery. To return to a person is a specific thing which has been lost or which has been stolen. Replevin means something very similar. Replevin means, it's on this page, an action to recover personal property or things that have been unlawfully taken from us. Have you had anything stolen from you by the enemy? Yes, we have, because we learned at the beginning that's his MO, right? He kills us, so we need repentance and we need revival. He wants to destroy things in our lives, our thinking, our relationship with him and our peace and with others. We need renewal of our mind to think the way he thinks about things, and we need restoration. I have, I don't have cable television, but when I travel, sometimes if I stay in a hotel, I like the Home and Garden channel, and I especially like the programs about houses that are restored. Now, there's a difference between remodeling and restoration. Remodeling is taking your 1950s kitchen and making it look like, you know, something from a spaceship. So that's remodeling, and people do that, and nothing wrong with that if that's what you want to do. But what I love are these people that restore homes, that go in and say, oh, this home was built in this age. What would the colors be? What kind of light fixtures would they have? What needs to happen to restore that, to bring it back to where it was intended to be? In our lives, and in the church, we can remodel. Jesus says all things become new, right? We can remodel. And we can kind of get by. We can function. But until we're willing to let God restore who it was he intended us to be. That's what it was we were intended to do, we will never be living abundant life. So these people come in and they see this house and they're like, ooh, we want to restore this house back to its original glory. And God's looking at each one of you and saying, I want to restore you back to the way God made you. In my experience, the things that have caused us to remodel our trauma. And so we put up walls and we hide things and we cover things up and we put shag carpeting on beautiful wood floors because it's more comfortable. And when we start removing some of those things, there's work that has to be done. Sometimes we've got to knock down a wall that we thought was protecting us. Sometimes it can be painful because it means peeling things away. It means pulling things up. It means being willing to look at things that maybe you didn't ever want to look at again. And so you covered it up or painted over it or built a wall. The Lord gave me a picture one time about what happens when trauma comes into our lives. Mason, you know my grandson Mason, spent a lot of time with me as a little guy, and he loved to play marbles. And so we played marbles. He had a huge, big marble collection. But then every once in a while, he would do this thing where he would take the biggest marble he had. He'd put a whole bunch of marbles into the circle that we had made of string, usually. And he would drop this big marble from a high place. And what happened when he did that, all kinds of pieces scattered. Some of them rolled under the couch. Some of them went down the heat run. Chips were taken out of some of them. None of them were exactly where they needed to be to function as a game of marbles. And there are things that happen in our lives. Circumstances. Things get dropped on us. And they cause pieces of us to get scattered. Broken up and scattered. Parts of us chipped off. Ending up not looking at all like we did originally, or even like we are supposed to. But God is asking us, will you let me restore your life? Will you let me tear down the walls that you thought were a protection? Will you let me peel off the wallpaper that you thought would hide something? Will you let me pull up the carpeting and be a little bit uncomfortable? Because I want to bring you back to the way I intended you to be. Free and beautiful and functioning the way I made you to be. Not what you settled for. Not what you took into your own hands. Not what you used as a protection, but who I called you to be. Because you're needed right now. The world needs you. The church needs you the way he intended you to be. The way you were created to be. I'm sure every single one of us in this room has had trauma. I don't think you can live in the world and not have trauma, especially because the enemy's job is to destroy us. Some of what happened to me in trauma is that I had breakdowns, and that was because I hid way deep inside of myself so that I wouldn't have to deal with whatever the pain was of the moment. The first really serious one I can remember was when my dad was killed. I was 15. He was killed in a car accident. For many reasons, my sister and I were not allowed to mourn in a healthy way, because my mom didn't know how to deal with trauma. And so with our tears, she said, "We'll have none of that. We'll have none of that." So we went somewhere and we hid. And I was 15 and I had a breakdown and my sister got an ulcer. She was 13. But God restored a father to me. Himself. He never brought a human father figure into my life. So it was always all about him. Is my father. He is the best dad. He wants to restore everything. I had my third pregnancy resulted in a late term miscarriage. I was 6.5 months pregnant. It was a boy. I wasn't saved at the time. And I dealt with that pain in a lot of different ways. None of it healthy, none of it real, none of it allowing myself to be who I was in that moment. But in the course of time, the Lord gave me a son born the same year as the son that I would have been born that I lost. And since then, he's given me several precious sons. Because he's a restorer. I always wanted to be a teacher. From the time I was a little girl. But because of my breakdowns, I dropped out of school. And so I had a loss of that dream and that vision, and I never thought it could be restored, because where in the world can you ever teach without an education? And then I became a Christian. And not only did I teach in a Christian school, I was the principal for a while. And one of my students nominated me, and I am in the who's who of American teachers. God restored a dream that the enemy told me was dead. Doesn't matter what it looks like. He can call it back. I had a horrible relationship with my mom, but God restored that in the last months of her life. She became a Christian, and we shared a faith that was so deep and so rich, so that there were no regrets at all when she went to be with the Lord. Because he's a restorer, and he wants to restore. My husband passed away. I was a Christian. But God has not left me without a husband. He is my husband. And he's taught me how to have him as my husband. And he restored. And there's several widows in this room, and you know what it's like to have God be a husband to you. I had a great husband, but we never had any money. Now I have a rich husband. That wasn't necessarily a dream of mine, but it's restored nonetheless. One of the most difficult traumas I had was when I was in my late teens, I became pregnant. And another long story that I'm not going to tell you right now. But that baby was a daughter, my firstborn child, was put up for adoption. It was one of the most painful things that's ever happened to me. Three years ago, we found each other. And I was really excited because I never, ever, ever, ever expected that to happen. But for a variety of reasons, she said, can we just remain Facebook friends? But I was thrilled because I never even looked for her. It was God calling her back. Yesterday was her birthday. She turned 53 years old. Yesterday was a lot different than February 5th, 53 years ago. Because I knew that today, for the first time, I was going to meet that girl. And I did. We had coffee together this morning, she and her daughter, my granddaughter, and my son and other daughter met their sister. Because God is a restorer. It doesn't matter how long you've waited. That's right. 53 years I waited. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter how dead something appears. Because God is a reviver. And God is a renewer. And God is a restorer. And he's given us the ability to enter into the courts of heaven and exercise replevin and call back every single thing that the enemy has stolen from us. You can call it back. He wants you to call it back. Because he wants you to live an abundant life, overflowing with the power in the presence of Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you, but first, do you have something? I asked Keith if he would pray about a song.
Taking my shame and in its place.
Lord Jesus, Father, grant us the gift of repentance. In those times, Lord God, when relationships have been hindered and broken, whether on the vertical or the horizontal, Father, breathe life into those things that seem to be dead. Bring life, Lord God. Breathe revival into your church, into your people, Lord God. Bring revival to this world, Lord, that's dead and dying and laying by the roadside. And Father, we just speak and say, live in the name of Jesus. Every dream that has died, we say, live in the name of Jesus. Every disappointment and thing that you've cast away and you've reckoned as dead, we say, live in the name of Jesus Christ. New life, new life, new life. Revive us again, O God, for your glory. Revive your church for your glory. And Father, renew our minds. We engage with you in this process. Lord, that everything that is not of you would be replaced with truth, O God. We choose you and your ways. In your truth, no matter what anyone thinks of us, no matter what it looks like, oh God, we choose renewal. And Father, I speak restoration into this room. Restoration. Call back the pieces of the souls, Lord, that have been shattered and broken in this room. We call them back, Lord, in the name and by the blood of Jesus. Restore the pieces of our soul, O God. Heal every trauma. Break the power of shame over us. And we just say restoration. You are the restorer. You are our restorer, O God. It doesn't matter how long we've waited, how far gone it's been. And Father, we exercise that which you've given us in the court of heaven. And we say that those things that the enemy has stolen from us and taken away unlawfully, we call them back now. We exercise replevin and we call them back now in the name of Jesus. Everything that's been stolen from us, Lord God, we call it back. We speak restoration to your church, O God. Everything that the world and the spirit of religion has robbed and taken unlawfully from your church, the authority and the power that you intended us to have, we call it back. Now, in the name of Jesus, you are the restorer, O God. You are our restorer, O God. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for all that you've done, all that even this very moment you are doing, and all that is yet to come. Father, we want to be so full of life, so full of Jesus, that he overflows, that everyone that comes near us, Lord God, would be spattered with him. We want it all, Lord God. And we thank you that your blood has made it possible for us to have it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
When I thought I lost, you knew where I left. You reintroduced me to your love. And you picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the
some work in this room. So I'm going to close this time for the sake of the camera. However, at the same time, I know that there's some of us that need to find our way to the altar and just finish getting some stuff right before our Lord. We're going to be very sensitive to what God is doing in this space, and our leaders will be up front to intercede and to pray with you if you need it. If you need prayer for healing, we will do that. If there's any thing you want just support in, we're going to stand and do that. Sorry, I've had to repurpose my mask to catch my tears. We're going to pray one more time, and then I'm going to ask my tech team to kill the cameras. Thank you for those who've been watching us online and joined us in our living room. And I pray that what the Lord had done in this room was also happening in your living room, and that you found deliverance in the testimony of my friend. So, Father, we say thank you. because you are faithful to take your people from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation, from understanding to understanding of the grandeur of your love that exists for your people and your power that restores all things. Lord, your power restores all things. Lord, we have many tears in this room. Many are tears of joy because they know the truth as they've had things restored. And we have others with tears knowing that they are still waiting for the restoration of the things that you said that you would return. Lord, we thank you that both sides exist. And we can contend for one another and we can patiently wait, recognizing that your glory will be seen on the earth. And your promises will all be fulfilled. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that we're all on a journey. And that you have completed a work in everyone in this room. And you are the one that said that you are faithful to complete every work that you've begun. And your work will end in perfection. Your work will end in perfection. My God, a God that will work, and his work ends for all in perfection. And so, Lord, we say thank you. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Be glorified, my Father, in all of us. In your holy and mighty name.